We come now to the seventh section of this book of Ben Sira, chapter 38, verse 24, through to chapter 43. And I'll begin by reading chapter 39, verses 5 to 11. So this Jerusalem teacher is teaching his students, and he says, "The scribe sets his heart to rise early, to seek the Lord his Maker, and to petition the Most High. He opens his mouth in prayer and asks pardon for his sins. If it pleases the Almighty, Lord, he will be filled with the spirit of understanding. He'll pour forth his own words of wisdom and give thanks to the Lord in prayer. God will direct his counsel and knowledge as he meditates on his mysteries. He will show the wisdom of what he has learned and will glory in the law of the covenant of the Lord. Many will praise his understanding. His fame can never be effaced. His memory will not disappear, and his name will live through all generations. Nations will speak of his wisdom, and the congregation will proclaim his praise. While he lives, he is one of a thousand, and when he dies, he leaves a good name." Ben Sira is hoping to inspire the young men to become scribes, that is, students of the law and teachers of the law. In chapter 39, verse 32 to 35, he, after a hymn of praise of God, he finishes this way: "This is why from the beginning I've been convinced of all this and have thought it out and left it in writing. All the works of God are good, and he will supply every need in its time. No one can say, 'This is not as good as that,' for everything proves good in its appointed time. So now, sing praise with all your heart and voice, and bless the name of the Holy One." In chapter 41, I'll just read to you from the first four verses. Reflection. "O death," he writes, "O death, how bitter is the thought of you to the one at peace in his home, who has nothing to worry about and is prosperous in everything, and still is vigorous enough to enjoy life's pleasures. O death, how welcome is your sentence to one who is weak and failing in strength, worn down by age and anxious about everything, with sight gone and hope lost. Do not fear death's decree for you. Remember those who went before you and those who will come after. This is God's decree for all flesh. Why then should you reject the will of the Most High? Whether life lasts for 10 years, or 100, or 1,000, there are no questions asked in Hades." A reflection on death from a person who knew nothing of the continued communion with God after death. Verse, chapter 42, verses 11 to 14 reads, "See that there's no lattice in your daughter's room, no spot that overlooks the approaches to the house. Don't let her parade her beauty before any man or spend her time among married women. For just as moths come from garments, so from a woman comes woman's wickedness. Better is the wickedness of a man than a woman's goodness. But better a religious daughter than a shameless son." giving advice to these young men about their married life and how they are to treat their daughters, but how male chauvinist. Just as moths come from garments, so from a woman comes woman's wickedness. Better is the wickedness of a man than a woman's goodness. What's that say about his assumed understanding of the relationship between male and female? But he then admits, however, thank God, but better a religious daughter than a shameless son. That's followed by a long hymn in praise of the Creator, which I'll leave for your own reading, and it concludes, "We could say more, but could never say enough. Let the final word be, He is all, this wonderful Creator." This brings us to part 8. Which runs from 44 through to 50. And I'll just read you a very few passages of it for reasons that are obvious, will become obvious. The chapter 44 opens, "Let us now sing the praises of men faithful to the covenant, each in his own time. The Most High apportioned to them great glory, the glory that was his from ancient days." So now, comment, having extolled the praises of God, the Creator of the beautiful universe, Ben Sidder now turns to extol the wonder of God's action in the famous ancestors of his people. In verses 3 to 6, he lists 12 categories of heroes. What they have in common is that they were faithful to the covenant that God, the commitment God has made to them, and they responded with gratitude and truth. Their lives were all resplendent with God's glory. Then, and I'll just list them so that you're aware of them, he talks about the following heroes of the past, and you can read it for yourself. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, Phinehas, it's Aaron's grandson, Joshua and Caleb, Samuel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Hezekiah, Isaiah, Josiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Job, the 12 prophets, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, and Nehemiah. And he concludes, chapter 49, "Few have ever been created on earth like Enoch, for he was taken up from the earth. Nor was anyone ever born like Joseph. Even his bones were cared for. Shem and Seth and Enosh were honoured. But above every other created living being was Adam." He concludes this extolling of the wonders of the heroes of the past with a eulogy or a statement of praise of the current high priest, Simeon, the son of Johanan, who was high priest from 219 through to 196 BC, and for whom, obviously, Ben Sira has the greatest respect. Then he concludes that with verse 50, chapter 50, verse 23. "May he grant you," that's Simeon, the high priest, "may he grant you wisdom of heart. May he abide among you as peace. May his kindness towards Simeon be lasting. May he fulfill for him the covenant with Phinehas, so that it may not be taken from him or his descendants while the heavens last." Now, when Ben Sira's grandson translated Ben Sira's work into Greek, he altered verses 23 to 24. because Simeon's priestly line came to an end with the assassination of his son, Onias II. And the record of that is in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 34. Having completed then the praise of the past, we have what we might call appendix, chapter 50, verse 25 through to the end of chapter 51. There's a dreadful passage, verses 25 to 26 of chapter 50, which reads, "My whole being loathes two nations, and the third is not even a people. Those who live in Seir and Philistia, and the foolish people that live in Shechem." Now, those who live in Seir are the Edomites. Jewish hatred for the Edomites has a long history. And when the Edomites took advantage of Judah's defeat by the Babylonians and occupied the southern part of Judah, this antipathy grew. So it's understandable antipathy. Philistia no longer existed at the time of Ben-Sirah. He's speaking here of those of his own day who live in Judah but have abandoned Judaism in favour of Greek culture. They are the inheritors of the traditions of the Philistines. So he says, my whole being loathes the people of Edom and the people of Philistia. His deepest contempt is for the Samaritans. The Jews wrongly saw them as the heretical descendants of the mixed population of the north, even though the fact is that the vast majority were descended from the Yahwists of the northern kingdom. Here he says, showing his bias, the foolish people that live in Shechem, they're not even a people. He despises them and obviously encourages his Jewish pupils also to despise them. Verse 27 to 29 reads, training in wise conduct and nicely balanced proverbs, I have written in this book of Yeshua ben Eliadza ben Sirah, he's talking about himself as in the third person, who poured them out from his understanding heart. Happy are those who concern themselves with these things, and those who lay them to heart will become wise. For if they put them into practice, they will be equal to anything, for the fear of Yahweh is profound. So in his postscript, Ben-Sirah follows Greek practice by signing his name here as the author, Yeshua ben Eliadza Ben-Sirah. He speaks of himself in the third person, and this is modelled on Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 to 10. We come now to the final chapter 51. Verses 9 to 12 reads, I sent up my prayer from the dust, my plea from the gates of Sheol. I cried out to Yahweh, you are my Father, my mighty Saviour, only you. Do not forsake me in the day of trouble, the days of ruin and desolation. I will praise your name continually, singing to you with my prayer. Yahweh heard my voice. He listened to my plea. He redeemed me from destruction and rescued me in time of trouble. For this reason, I thank you and praise you, and I bless the name of Yahweh. The The final section of the book of Ben Sira is what's called an acrostic poem. It's A to Z, Aleph, right through to Tau. Each verse begins with a different word, consonant of the alphabet, and so that constricts it a bit, but it also gives the impression of the A to Z, the whole encompassing statement that he wants to make. And I'll now just read it to you for your enjoyment. It's quite a beautiful concluding poem. Chapter 51, verse 13 to 29. Go to 30. While I was still young and innocent, I kept seeking wisdom. She came to me in her beauty, and I will continue to cultivate her to the end. From the first blossom to the ripening grape, my heart delights in wisdom. My feet walked on the straight path, for from my youth I followed her steps. In the short time of my heeding her, I encountered much instruction. Since I have profited in this way, I will give grateful praise to my teacher. I resolved to live according to wisdom. I was zealous for the good, and I will not turn back. I burned with desire for her and never let up. I became preoccupied with her, never weary of extolling her. I spread out my hand on high, never weary of extolling her. For her I lived a pure life. In cleanliness I attained her. At first acquaintance with her, I gained understanding, such that I will never forsake her. My whole being was stirred to seek her. Therefore I have made her my prized possession. The Lord gave my tongue as a reward, gave me my tongue as a reward, and I will praise him with it. Draw near to me, you who are uneducated. Lodge in the house of instruction. How long will you stay deprived of wisdom's food? How long will you put up with such bitter thirst? I open my mouth and speak of her. Acquire wisdom for yourselves without money. Submit your neck to her yoke. Let your souls receive instruction. She is close to those who seek her, and the one who is in earnest finds her. See for yourselves, I've labored but little and I've found much. Hear but a little of my instruction, and through it you will acquire silver and gold. Let your whole being rejoice in the mercy of God. Do not be ashamed to give God praise. The author then, that's gone A right through to Z, then he finishes unexpectedly with a line beginning with a P, pe, and it reads, work at your tasks in due season, and in his own time God will give you your reward. Now, let's try and examine why he would have suddenly broken from the alphabet and concluded with a P. If we take the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that's Aleph, and the middle letter, Lamed, L, and if we conclude with a P, Pe, we form the word Aleph, which is the spelling of the first consonant, Aleph. Thus, the P takes us back to A. In this way, Ben Sira stresses the all-embracing and ongoing nature of the praise that is God's due. Now, another thing, when Aleph is used as a verb, it means to teach. In this way, he summarizes the intent of his book. Class notes to young men to commit their lives to the truth, that is, to the wisdom of God found in their own Jewish Torah.